around, and whether for jobs or for pleasure. And recently on a trip out of the country, I found myself looking around at people passing by on the street, just watching, observing, talking somewhat. And as you look around and see them, you know, sitting there on the metro or walking down the street, passing by and so forth, I found myself thinking, you know, about the history of different countries and the past struggles, relationships between countries, and at times the lack of peace that different countries have politically and so forth. And as looking at those people passing by and on the streets, and I thought, you know, what a sad thing would be to be opposite of these people in a war or in some sort of situation that could digress between countries. And seeing all this and thinking about it, I thought more about peace and wanting it and desiring it. In the Psalms, we can read about that. In Psalm chapter 34, says to seek peace and pursue it. And I wanted to talk about that for just a little while this evening. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 9. We'll be there in just a moment. Thank you for coming. I appreciate it. It wasn't announced that I was coming. I was going to speak, so everybody's here. But thank you anyway. And as we study God's Word, please open your Bibles and think with me and study with me. As we read through the Bible, and it was pointed out to me once that there's not a whole lot of, or there's an awful lot of conflict, a lot of battles and a lot of, you know, struggle between nations and so forth. And, you know, in thinking about it and thinking about peace and the opposite of wars and things such, it's true that there is a lot of conflict through the history of God's Word, in the development of God's plan for His people. We can think back of many occasions that, you know, start back with Genesis chapter 14 with Lot. And he was living at whatever measure of peace that he was living there in his city in Sodom. And then his city was invaded. Nations came, four kingdoms against five kingdoms. He was taken away, kidnapped, captive. His peace was, whatever measure he had, was interrupted. Abraham got the news of it, and his peace was interrupted because he went off and gathered a force up of over 300 men to go after and pursue. And he did, and he went and engaged the enemy and rescued Lot and drove the enemy even as far as north as Damascus. We keep reading more and through the history, we come to Moses leading the children of Israel, the conflicts there with Egypt. We find Joshua leading the people into the land, and we talk about peace and the disruption of it. It was God's will, wasn't it, that peace be disrupted? There was a reason for that. God had a reason. He was giving the land to Israel. The sin, the corruption of the people there in the land of Canaan, Palestine, was complete, was full. They were totally wicked, and it was time for God's mercy was full, was complete. Even the Israelites themselves, once they got into the land, they were there, they had peace at times, but then when they strayed away, when they fell away, and they went after foreign gods, it was God's choice, the living God's choice, to disrupt their peace, to go in and allow other nations to go in and take over them, and resulting in absolutely no peace, and wars and struggles and slavery for God's people themselves. We fast forward through a lot of time, passes through even complete and total captivity times there that we know about, we know the history, all the way into the New Testament when the beginning of the church, Christ's church, that we're a part of here now, in the beginning of that, the peace was interrupted very early on after the establishment of his kingdom in the fact that Peter and John were arrested soon after, the apostles themselves were arrested, and Stephen, chapter 7 of Acts, becomes the first martyr. So peace, what kind of peace are we talking about? Because we can read, notice here in Isaiah chapter 9, look in verse 6, the prophecy is made concerning Jesus, and it calls him several names there, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father. It calls him a Prince of Peace. It doesn't sound all that peaceful, does it? There will be, in verse 7, it says, adding to it, he says, there will be no end to the increase of his government or his kingdom, and there will be no end to what? To peace. So in this kingdom that Christ was coming to bring, there would be no end to peace. But yet we see, you know, right away when that kingdom was established in the beginning of Acts, that there didn't seem to be peace. I think you can see that we're talking about two different kinds of peace at least. Different kinds of peace. Physical peace, what I'm going to term temporal peace within our lives here and what things affect us here physically in this world is different from the peace that God can give us. And that's the peace that we want to talk about. The real peace that we are to pursue and that we can seek and that is good is an inward peace within ourselves and with God, a peace with God, our Creator, and to have a relationship, a peaceful relationship with our God. Worlds will fall apart. Nations will struggle against nations. And they have from the beginning and they will to the end. But we can have peace in the midst of these types of struggles. Philippians 4, verse 7 says that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding or comprehension will guide our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace is a quality and a virtue that we sorely need in our lives. But unfortunately, not everyone enjoys the peace that we're going to talk about, this everlasting peace with God our Father. The peace that, the wicked, the ungodly, it's a peace of mind, a peace in our heart, relationship with God. The wicked will never have that as long as the wicked, the ungodly, continue in their paths. Isaiah 48 chapter says simply, God says, very simply, he says, there is no peace for the wicked. There's none. They cannot have it, continuing in those ways. In Isaiah 59, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, he says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. How can there be peace when there's such a separation between man and his Creator? There cannot be. That's why the wicked cannot enjoy this peace that we're talking about, because the sins, the ungodliness, the wickedness separates man from God. And it's the desires of our hearts, of the wicked, that and the appeal of sin that entangles us and traps us. While we continue to hold on to those things, we simply cannot escape. And it prevents a true peace and a relationship with God. When we hold on to those things, we cannot have this peace. I learned something while studying for this. There's a hunters for monkeys in Asia. And it's interesting the way they hunt for these animals. They will simply take a funnel type device Okay? It's got, it's narrow on one end and it's wide on the other. And at the wide end, they'll put a treat or something that will attract the monkey, the animal. And when the monkey comes along and he sees that treat, what he wants in there, he'll reach his hand in and he'll grab it. And when he tries to retract his hand, the narrow part of that funnel is too narrow and he can't get his fist back out. His escape from that is very simple. All he has to do is drop it and he can retract his hand, same way he got it in. But he will not do that. He will hold on to that, and then the hunter will simply come and capture him and take him away. When we hold on to things that, and in this life, and we want those so much that we simply will not let go of them, there's no escape. There's no escape. Sin will separate us from God. Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21 talks about the wicked being tossed about. Verse 20 says, "The wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up refuse and mud." There is no peace. There is no peace for the wicked, for the ungodly, as they continue in their path. It's like the rolling waters are toiling and turning and it's stirring up everything on the bottom and all the refuse comes up and it's just a mess. There is no peace. The wicked definitely are in need for that peace. Another who do not enjoy peace, and that is possibly we as disciples can be troubled and not have this peace. We lose our peace when perhaps we lose our sense of direction, maybe our priorities. We read the story in Luke chapter 10 when Jesus tells Martha, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things." And what had she done? She was going about doing good things, but there was something more important that she was missing out on. And Jesus said that her sister had chosen that and it wouldn't be taken from her. Sometimes we just need to step back and look and reevaluate where our priorities are and see those things in black and white. I get wrapped up in the day-to-day things for sure. Just to step back and make sure that we have things in order. We want them to be where we want them to be. The price of that is, I think, will result in a limited amount of growth and strengthening in our lives. To grow as Christians, to strengthen, to become more mature, requires us to have those priorities in line. To be interested in Bible studies, to be interested in teaching, and perhaps giving up some other things that might be enjoyable to pursue godly interests. Matthew chapter 13, there's this very familiar story. We mentioned it recently in the morning Bible classes. And that is regarding the parable of the sower. And there's the seed that falls in that type soil, the soil that is filled with thorns and briars. And the seed simply cannot grow, cannot get enough nourishment there. As the thorns grow up along with the good seed, it'll just choke it out. The cares, the riches and pleasures perhaps in this world, and we just get wrapped up in that, and we don't see or we lose sight of our goal. 1 Timothy chapter 6 goes along with that. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 9, we can succumb to the desire of riches, of gain, and working towards that. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction." The desire to go into that, it's a temptation. And in our society, it's It's just everywhere. It's all around us to have more and more things, better things, and when we choose that path, when we choose those things and put more emphasis on those things in our lives, something gives. Something gives. It's usually time to do, to engage in more spiritual activities. And many people dream that peace comes from material things, perhaps from wealth or riches, perhaps having authority over others, being free from perhaps illnesses, being free from physical or other emotional disturbances that can plague us as people. But true peace defies the presence or absence of all of those things. If peace were dependent on if peace were dependent on people or circumstances or events external to myself, then I would have very little of it. Because there's an awful lot of things that can cause us to not have peace. Temporal peace, I'm talking about now. The peace that just day-to-day living can bring or not bring. The day-by-day, the righteous are often in need of peace. And that peace comes from God. The measure of peace that I choose. Some things, for this temporal type peace, there's things that I can choose to help that, to make my life better or not. And I can choose those things. There's a, some of you know, and some of us have talked about a radio personality who talks about financial peace. He even has a whole university that you can take classes or, you know, study on and ways to have financial peace. And peace does not come through wealth, at least not the everlasting peace, not the relationship that we gain and the benefits from God. It's not going to come from anything earthly. It's going to come from something much, much more important. That's not to say that there's not things that we can do to make this temporary peace, and have that here, or at least a portion of it perhaps. But things will happen that will tear that away from us. We can't depend on it. Talking about financial peace, there's many things the Bible talks about to help us in that regard, just to help us in our lives. And it talks about in the Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, that there are many things that will help us. But we have to understand that peace is temporary, and it's not something to be made our goal, our primary goal, or probably not even secondary, third, dairy, or running down the list, right? The peace that is most important is our relationship with God. It comes from God. But there are some things that I can choose. There are some who choose a measure, who purposefully choose to make their lives a little bit less peaceful on purpose. And you think about those, you might be surprised who I'm about to say, but there are some who choose to make their lives less peaceful on purpose. And they're right here. And that's the elders. And that's a good thing for us. And to choose to make take on the duties and the responsibilities of the eldership will result most definitely in many nights of waking up and thinking and trying to help someone's spiritual condition, trying to help persuade them and convince them of the right way, the narrow way that leads to salvation, rather than the broad way that leads to destruction. They've chosen that. In Acts, the 20th chapter, the elders there at Ephesus were very distraught about the news that they heard. The news that they heard then was about Paul. Paul said, "This is the last time I will see you." And they cried with him. They were together there. And it was distressing for them. Just as being Christians ourselves, we take on a little bit of that because we are concerned about each other. And when we have a group of people, there's going to be some difficulties, some problems, a lack of peace at times, but it's temporary. As we all work together, we all strive together, we all want the same thing. We all want that relationship with God and that everlasting home. Even the most dedicated servants find themselves in need of peace at times. Well, Jesus came to bring peace. He was called the Prince of Peace. We read in Isaiah 59 that when His kingdom comes, and it has come, that it would be a peace that would never end. So we can have that peace right now. We can have it, and it will last in our lives from here through eternity, the peace that He's offering to us. He announced it at the birth of John by Zacharias. He announced it by the heavenly hosts at the birth of Jesus, that there's a peace that we can all have, an everlasting peace, a relationship with God. Jesus also proclaimed it to His disciples in John, the 14th chapter. We'll turn over there and read that. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says to, He says, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Jesus was going to leave peace with us, with them, and for us. He was going to give us a peace that the world cannot offer. The temporal peace that we've been comparing it to, there's nothing there that can really help us. It can have a short-term, perhaps, benefit. But the everlasting peace that God is offering, that Jesus is leaving with us, is incomparable. So what is this peace? We'll mention just a few things that God provides for us. First of all, I've mentioned it a few times, and that is peace with God Himself. In a relationship with Him that nothing can tear us from. Go over to Romans chapter 5, and we see how we can have that peace with God, our Creator, our Father. In chapter 5, verse 1, He says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace." Through faith, we can have this peace through believing that God is the Creator, that He, in His infinite wisdom, knew everything that was going to transpire. And He sent His Son. He developed a plan from the beginning. He sent His Son for us. The faith in that, the faith in His Son, the knowledge of what God did for us and His plan of salvation, through that, we can have peace with God. We can have peace with mankind. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, He says, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female. You're alone, you're all in one in Christ Jesus." A physical peace between man in mankind for different races. It doesn't matter at all. Every single human being God created on this planet, from ages before to ages to come, God put a soul in each one of us. There's no difference between us. Absolutely none. We can have peace with God, with mankind, through God's Word. One of the things that we desire as well is peace with our families. Look at Colossians. Well, in Colossians chapter 3, it talks about verses 18 through 21. It talks about just the familiar how to wives be in subjection to your husbands, and fathers how to treat your children, and just rules and commandments that he gives us with how to treat each other in the family and the roles that we play. And when we honor these, when we submit to these commands and roles that he's given us, then we can have peace with our families. And I know that sometimes that gets broken up, and that's the hardest thing, I'm sure, for someone to go through. But when God's way is observed, when God's will is in practice in our lives, then we have peace at home. We have families, we have godly families, godly parents raising godly children, perhaps having godly grandparents, and the children having godly offspring. In God's way, we can have peace. Peace with our brethren. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse 8, he says, "To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead for what you were called for, the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing." Peace right here amongst us. Something to be pursued. Something to be sought after. Might be a little bit more difficult than peace within our family. There's a lot of us with different backgrounds, come from different places. Getting to know each other and respecting each other, honoring each other, humbling ourselves, submitting to each other as servants, serving each other. All of these things can bring about a peace and a family here that will go on for eternity and that we can look forward to. Following Jesus' way and Jesus' doctrine will lead to harmony with brethren. We can even find peace, and Jesus shows us better than anyone else ever how to have peace with our enemies. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, he gives the commandment there. In verse 44, he says, "I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you." Jesus didn't simply stop there with the words, the commandments, but he followed through in his life and showed us how to do that. When he was hanging on the cross in Luke 23 and verse 34, Jesus said, while he was dying, those who had murdered him, who were killing him, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." He died for all of us, for all the sins of the world. And we can have that relationship, we can find that peace that he's giving us because of the sacrifice that he made and God's power in raising him. And finally, peace with oneself. Philippians chapter 4. Jesus offers a peace from within that would be unfazed from the world. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, it takes work to find this peace. But he says in verse 6, he says, "Be anxious for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That's difficult sometimes when the pressures and the situations come along in our lives and it seems that the peace is gone and we're in the middle of the turmoil of the situation. But God says we can cast our cares on Him. Be anxious for nothing. And we can have the peace. Well, Do we have that peace? Do we enjoy that peace? Do we enjoy that relationship with God? Or is something distracted us or come between us and interrupted, disrupted that peace that we have and that relationship that we have with God? Perhaps some ungodliness in our lives that we need to get rid of so that we can come back to regain that peace and that relationship with God. Perhaps our priorities have gotten out of whack, and we can correct that. It's very easy to correct or to repent of that and change and to make that so in our lives. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is willing to give that to us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, he finishes up that letter, he says, "May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way." May God bless each of us in our lives as we strive to do his will. If there's anyone who needs to respond to the gospel, to make something right in your life, you can do that. If there's anyone who wants to obey the gospel and know the peace that Jesus Christ offers and that God is willing to give to us, his creation, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.